Welcome to the Shiny Brightly Show. I'm Howard Brown, author, speaker, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, international peacemaker, and yes, a two-time stage four cancer patient survivor and advocate. Each episode will take you from resilience to hope and a whole lot more, because shining brightly does make the world a better place. Be prepared to be inspired.
Hello, it's Howard Brown. It's the Shining Brightly Show. Oh my goodness. I am learning so much, and I have an amazing guest, and her name is Mia Doucette. Mia, welcome.
I'm delighted to be here, Howard. And I love to be called an amazing guest.
Ooh. You are an amazing guest because you are an amazing person. And so we got a great show in store. We're going to learn lots through Mia today. I'm so thrilled. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Mia Doucette is an award-winning author, and she's the founding member of the Women's Global Alliance. Okay, we'll hear a little bit more about that. She's a mentor to women who are successful, but potentially unhappy, and you're an authority on resolving emotional issues that might have rooted in their childhood. And that's probably a lot of us, right? Not just women, but a lot of us. You've trained in a lot of different disciplines, and your gift is to identify and clear the subconscious codes and patterns that keep us from living our best life. So that's very helpful. In your previous life, until some financial failures of in 2008, you were working with automotive engineers and technical people, and you helped secure lots of millions of dollars worth of contracts, especially in the Asia Pacific markets. And you say that you loved being in the boardroom with really smart people. The thrill today is empowering really smart women to break free from hidden personal barriers so they can be happy and financially successful. It's beautiful. You help lift people up. That's what this show is all about. So I got a question before we dive in. All right. How are you shining brightly today?
I am shining brightly because I have decided that my big goal in life, my big mission, is to bring hope and inspiration to 1 million children and their parents through finding sponsors for my book, because the book is about 81 stories of children who've gone through every type of trauma you can imagine and worked their way through. And they now shine brightly, Howard.
Well, you're already starting it. The mission is a beautiful one. It's a big, audacious goal, but you know what? You got to take that first step, and you have already. And I think it's very noble. It's a noble mission, and I want to support you. So take us back a little bit. Give us some background. How did you get here at this point now of your life?
I'm going to talk about the book and how did I get to that point. I've always loved kids. I've always been fascinated by them. They see the world through a totally different lens. And when I started my work, working with women one-on-one, it became evident very quickly that any issues we have typically go back to childhood. So what happened to the child? How did the child perceive it? You know, from a very limited context, what decisions did they make about the world that continue to operate today and that operate in patterns? And not just in patterns of our behavior, but things that happen to us in patterns. So that a woman, who, for example, who's sexually traumatized will often attract sexual trauma until that clears, for example. And I just found that fascinating, that all our patterns go back to childhood. So that's how I got to making the decision to write the book.
Well, we're going to dig in deeper. So I really like that. As a two-time stage four cancer survivor, you have a keynote talk that actually is get up again, because we all get knocked down in life and in business and in relationships and in health, in my case, and in many others. And the key, which I love the fact that you call it clearing the subconscious and the patterns, is the ability to actually, and I call it using your light to get back up again, to get yourself back up, and then using your light to help others. So I love that people are sharing their stories with you. And How did you go about to, garner 81 stories? I mean, that's incredible. It's a lot of work and time to do that and interview these people and let them tell their story.
I started from client stories, getting their permission and re-interviewing and making sure that I was able to get to the heart of the story very quickly, because I didn't want a chapter on each person, just a very, very short chapter. And then sometimes they would refer to me. But also, because I'm on LinkedIn, there was an instance where I read the story of a woman from the USSR, and I was captivated by what she said. So I contacted her, connected with her, and asked if I could interview her. And she had just, I'm going to say, a delightful story, and painful but delightful story. And then she referred me to five other women, and that it just began to grow.
So your 81 women are global. I
Yes,
mean,
they
they
are.
could be from anywhere.
I'm
Wow.
saying 22, it's actually 23 countries,
Wow.
different cultures, different religions. So there was no, I had no set program. I had no set agenda. Whoever wanted to be interviewed, I interviewed. And there's no pattern in the book. I might talk about a Jehovah's Witness in one story, and a Irish Catholic in another,
So there's a lot of diversity, in
Much,
what.
yes, very much so. And also, societal levels. People who had no money to people who, like the daughter of an ambassador, so.
So I mean, this is it's a really cool collection because you have different themes, right? And different stories that people are sharing. Were there any like things that just, I mean, there was a lot of pain, what you're telling me. People
Yes.
started to share a lot of pain,
Yeah.
and there were people past the pain, or they're in the pain still, or what was part of the journeys?
They had to have been past the pain
Okay.
for me to interview them. So, th because these are strong women, these are women who lived through the pain. M most of them had years of therapy, but lived through the pain and made a success of their life. So to CEO, many are engineers, medical doctors, CFOs, like owners of their own small business, various levels of success in different professions. But they had to consider themselves successful to find a place in my book.
Excellent. And the lessons, were there all unique themes, or were there themes of abuse or alcoholic parents or divorced and things like that? There must have been, right?
All of the above and more. Abandonment, the death of a parent. One story is about the death of a grandparent. So all sorts of grief, abuse, betrayal, abandonment, anything you can imagine, sexual trauma, sexual abuse.
Yeah, it's strong. And now some of these women are now moms themselves, right?
Yes.
And
Say most.
most are moms themselves. Okay, have they broken that past pattern, hopefully, or are they still kind of dealing with that with their own children? Did you not get into that?
Yeah, that's interesting. Some of them feel that they're still dealing with it. You probably know about intergenerational trauma, right? So that can go deep and can show up again. And can affect the relationship with the child, or can affect the child's perception of the parent.
No, I understand that. I will tell you that one of the things that being a dad with a daughter, and through my cancer, I'm on the firing lines, not knowing if I'm going to live or die with stage 4 colon cancer. And quite frankly, even though we were trying to do a really good job at raising our daughter, she told us when things got a little better for us and cleared a little bit for me, and we weren't so under the gun, that no one was asking about her. and how she was doing, and she felt ignored, even though we were trying not to. She was like, they always, how's your dad? How's your dad doing? How's your dad doing? And she did, from that standpoint, feel that. And she revealed that to us, and we're now addressing and dealing with that, and have been. And but it's an important thing. When you feel the world's coming undone, you know, something falls through the cracks, and that fell through the cracks. I mean, we were doing everything we could, but
very much so. I mean, it's just one story that highlights what a difficult job it is to be a parent.
It's probably the hardest job.
I think it's the hardest job. And you had one child, right? So
yes.
The person has three children. There are stories in the book too about bullying. I didn't mention that earlier.
Sure.
And also about the male child being treated differently, or at least so the child perceives that her brother is being treated differently. And the child, out of very little context, will make a decision that affects the rest of his or her life.
All of that is true, because I'm a twin. I'm the younger twin by 5 minutes, but I was treated differently, for sure.
That is
100%.
Interesting. And is it a twin brother or a twin
sister? I have a twin sister. I have
and
a twin
you felt
sister.
That she was treated better than you?
No. No, no, no. Just differently.
Yeah.
Not better. Not better. Differently.
Yeah.
Differently.
Well, we put our little boys in blue and our little girls in pink, don't we? And we know that mothers talk differently to their girl babies than to their boy babies.
Also, and I had a little bit more leniency at being the boy and the girl. You know, it just worked out that way. And now I tell, you know, my big sister, who's 5 minutes older, she also saved my life through a bone marrow transplant. So we are very close, but she doesn't want to be the older one now by 5 minutes. And then I do notice that, especially if you're the, my sister has three children. She has an older one and two twins. My twin has twins, girl, boy, twins. And the girl is older than the boy. But I do notice that, and people, middle child, you know, also youngest child, you know, the, you know, oldest child of a big family. So I didn't, you know, I never really thought about it that deeply, but it, that definitely affects your growing up and your decision making. Very important.
And the patterns, you know, I'm sure you'll agree with me. We get to a certain age and we realize that our patterns in life are totally different from other people's. Things keep happening to us, you know. It don't happen to other people. And that all goes back to, I think, beliefs that we took on at a very early age when we had no context, we had no life experience, you know.
Well, I will tell you this, that role models and mentors matter.
Oh, absolutely.
Because in the first chapter of my book, In Shining Brightly, my great grandmother, her name is Bubby Bertha Buddha. She came to this country as an Orthodox Jewish woman. She lived till 101. This woman lived, but she didn't live with telephones and television. She lived with you know, the hardship of life, and then coming here as like a 17-year-old. And as an Orthodox Jewish woman, she drilled into us that we could choose to be kind, choose to be giving, choose to be healing, choose to be grateful, and choose not to hate. That's chapter one of my book. And
what a
again,
wonderful gift.
That was a beautiful gift, because I carried that with me through my entire life, and my twin sister have. And she also, she said a little thing in our family. When we find money, you know, you find a penny, pick it up, you find a dollar. She said to all of us, and this is our family wide, and we don't have a big family, that money goes, is not your money, it's God's money. It goes to charity. And so we still do it. When we find money, it goes into what's called a Jewish piggy bank or a tzedakah box, and it is given to those in need.
That is so lovely, Howard.
Yeah.
It really is.
I know. So you can carry, what I'm trying to do is also offset some of the pain, is that there are some really big legacy lessons that we carry forward that are very positive, that shape us. Then we also get some of the bad stuff as well.
Yes. I would say a lot of the women who were in my book did not have that kind of legacy.
Sure. Well, and that affects our decision making, and who you put in your inner circle, right? I mean, again, there's, you know, if you grew up on the streets, and didn't have any role modeling and didn't have a Bubby Bertha Budish, you know, you're making decisions that you're trying to just, you know, keep your head above water. And sometimes you hang out with the wrong people. Now, I've done that too. We all do it. We're human, right? We are. I have to say, we are all just a work in progress.
Yes.
And we have to give ourselves a little bit of grace, but it can get you in trouble. And I call that trouble walking in darkness. And there are big lessons from there. You just can't stay there too long. And I hope some of these women, I've heard stories, you know, there are women that have had sexual abuse and they have carried it with them for years and years and years, not telling their story. And I've had a podcast guest that held it for 44 years. And so I can't, it's just imaginable. And again, I have to tell you, having cancer twice that was 26 years apart, one was analog. There were no computers, cell phones. And now in, you know, 2016 and on for colon cancer, I don't know how the trauma is affecting me long term, but I still have to deal with it. You know, I just came through a very difficult 7 years. Okay. And it's how I'm choosing to move forward.
Absolutely.
And I have empowered myself emotionally,
Absolutely.
Physically, financially, and in relationships to move forward. And I got to tell you, it's not super easy. It's not super easy some days, but most days it's really a pleasure to get up and try to use my light to help others.
Yeah.
But it's a discipline.
It's a constant choosing, isn't it, Howard?
Yeah, it's all about that.
Constant
It really well.
Choosing how I'm going to be.
I know it. Any other themes or stories you'd like to share? That you kind of took, you did this big research project. It's amazing.
It was a big research project. Yeah. Yeah. You want me to share a story? I mentioned that one of the first people I interviewed was a woman from the USSR.
Okay.
So I'll tell you her story. This is one of 81 stories.
All right.
She has a twin sister, identical twin. And their father leaves the mother and them when they are 6 months old. So she grows up without her father. And in the day in the USSR, if you were a single parent, you put your child into a school, like, you know, even in early infancy, you had to go out and work. So your child had to be placed and they were in that school setting for the entire week. So when she's in pre-K, the father contacts the school and says he really loves them and he wants to come and see them. And so they sit and well, I should tell you that one of the things I love about the book is that each story is illustrated with a drawing. So this is the episode as seen from the child's eyes. So you've got this scene in a really... In a setting that is not child friendly. You've got these beds, you've got other kids sleeping, and these two little girls are 3 or 4 years old sitting on the edge of the bed waiting for their father. And in the story, they wait 13 years to see their father.
Wow.
And, you know, without telling you a few of the other things that happened, they go to university, and then Canada has opened the country to educated women. And so they want to go to Canada. But you need the permission of both parents. So they get the permission from the mother and the father. Now that's going to be a more difficult thing. He shows up. They're 18 years old. He shows up and he signs, knowing that he's going to lose his job. Because he's with the KGB.
Wow.
And she
fascinating.
Said the last sentence in her story is, and that's the last time I saw my father. I titled the story, That Is How You Love Me.
Wow. And I your illustrations are remarkable. So, I mean, it's really cool additive feature into this story. So, well, thank you for sharing that. That's fascinating. It's a good tease into the book. Let's now move a little bit into how you're coaching and how you're helping the women. And then we'll talk about how to help, you know, reach 1 million children and families.
Yeah. I'm choosing to coach executive women and women who own their own business. I've had a lot of corporate experience. prior to choosing this line of work. So it's kind of a natural market for me. And what I'm identifying, and I saw this in myself too, is that when you're in business for yourself, you can feel isolated. You can feel like you're doing it all alone. And I also saw women who were very, I have clients, very successful in their work, financially successful, but not happy, not joyful, not shining brightly. So when they come to me, they almost always say they've tried everything and not had any results. And so that's my market, because I like to work at what everybody else is considering impossible. Because once you get to the subconscious level, I shouldn't use the word magical, but it feels almost magical that you can change things because you got to the root. You know, the problem with most talk therapy, the problem with most psychotherapy is you're talking about the problem and talking about the problem and talking, but you're not getting to the heart of it. You're not resolving anything, and all that does is drive it deeper into the subconscious, right? So that's my work.
I love it. I love it. Now, tell us. You stated that you shine brightly by your goal to help 1 million children and their families. How do we help you do that?
Well, I'm looking for sponsors. I'm looking for
Okay.
people in communities that deal with families, for example, that deal with disadvantaged children. And I will provide books in great number to them to pass on to people who would get something out of it. So I think very often when people are disadvantaged, you know, whether the parents or their children, they maybe don't realize that there's a way out. And I think it would be inspiring to read stories of 81 kids who made it, you know.
It is. And you hear about orphans, and you hear about the hardship that they went through, and it's great learning experience. And I'll tell you what you're doing by helping these children is, one, you're giving them a path forward. And there's these four very important letters, HOPE. You're providing hope. And I that's the last chapter of my book, is sharing hope. And
Oh,
you're
yes.
sharing hope. And so sharing hope, because I share hope with everyone, but also especially with cancer patients in treatment, cancer patients in trying to rebuild their lives in survivorship. And that hope is the fuel that is needed to be able to get out of bed some days and
Very
to
much so.
forge forward. And so it's so important. So we are super aligned in giving people that hope that can help them, take that next step forward. And I love that. This has been really cool, and it's just a tease on you and your work. So people will definitely contact you for more. But I want you to put on your sunglasses. You got some cool shades. I got
I
cool
do
shades
have
too.
sunglasses. Yes,
Let me
I
see those
do.
sunglasses. Oh, Mia, this is Hollywood. We got Mia from Hollywood here with us today. Well, anyways, this is now the time of the show called the Shining Brightly Spotlight. And the reason we're wearing sunglasses is because it's shining so brightly on you. I'd love for you to tell people how to get in touch with you the best way. And then also, you have a little bit of a free gift manifesto to share. So,
I
and then,
do. And
so
so the
share that
best way
first.
to get in touch with me is through my website. And my website is just my name. So MiaDoucette.com. That's all you need to know. And for the manifesto, MiaDoucette.com/manifesto. And that will get that to you.
Oh, excellent. People should take advantage and click on that. And I'll have that in the show notes and all the social media and all that as well. All right.
Perfect.
Share. I always end my show with inspiration. Give me what you got.
Okay, so this reflects a bit on what we talked about earlier. The quickest and least painful way to change conditioning at the subconscious level is based on neuroscience, right? It doesn't take years of therapy to get happy. You just have to get into the root cause of what is causing the discontent. And you can do that through the theta level, if you know anything about brainwave technology. If you get in at a certain level of the brain and the brain waves, you can reach right into the other person's subconscious. It's just a gift to have been able to discover that and then to have received some training in it. So that's mine.
Let's clear that path and get that inspiration. So we'll take off the sunglasses if you want to. And
well, do I have to?
you can keep them on. And so this has been the Shining Brightly Show. And I want to just give some shout outs to some folks that have gotten me and support me all the time. My publisher, Front End Publishing, readthespirit.com, which is a weekly on Mondays that shares faith and inspiration as well. And I blog in that very frequently. And then my podcast team at Amplify You, you help me shine brightly so well. And you can get in touch with me at shiningbrightly.com. And if you want to learn more about my book and all some other collaborative books that I'm in, all that information is there. If you'd like me to hire me to make your event shine, to speak or facilitate or workshop or a panel, glad to consider it. Reach me on the website as well. And then lastly, this podcast is fed to my website every week, and you can get to all my shows and look at some back shows as well. And there's a amazing inventory of topics to choose from. And then lastly, my advocacy, what I care about, and I care about entrepreneurship, mentorship, leadership, cancer, and the interfaith world. And so come join me in that, and let's get inspirational and motivate, educate everyone together. So with that, we can choose to shine brightly for ourselves and for others in our communities and neighborhoods to make the world a better place. Mia Doucette, thank you for shining brightly with us today.
Thank you, Howard. It's been a gift.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Shining Brightly with me, Howard Brown. Come interact with me at shiningbrightly.com. And remember, keep on shining.